All right, folks, for those of you who are on the listening on the podcast feed, we are getting ready to go live on YouTube with Suds News. As always, Vinny and Chris are here, and we are joined by my mother, but we will get into that momentarily. I'm going to go ahead and copy the link. We're going to post it on Twix.
Just still love that you call it Twix.
We are set to go. We are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle, Suds News. As always, I am Vinny. This is Christy. And we are actually joined with us by a special guest tonight. My mother is
Mama! Mama Sharon's in the house.
Hi.
Sorry.
Yes. Hi, everyone.
The woman that got me into General Hospital and has watched it much, much longer than I have, and she's here to talk about her experience with General Hospital. But before we even
Uh-oh.
getting down to business with the show and any kind of news about GH, I do want to bring up, as always, we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go over to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch, and that provides the affiliate code to WWE Shop, and we get a commission off of it. And Chad, welcome to the chat room. And he says, "Evening all, and hi, Vinny's mom."
Hi, Chad.
Hi. Hi,
Before we
Chad.
get into the General Hospital news, I do want to let everybody know that I am very happy and excited and on how Soap Suds March Madness is going thus far. We are in round two. The General Hospital and Days round two matchups actually end tomorrow. YNR and B&B and the Bay, they end on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we'll get into the Elite Eight. I'm sorry, the Sweet 16. And then going forward, I did alter the dates a little bit because of just how the time was going to go. But anyways, so just kind of going over the brackets a little bit. For in the General Hospital bracket, Elizabeth Baldwin took out Lucy Coe in a really in a just a lopsided victory. She moved on to the second round. Currently, the poll is her and the winner of Mac and Nina, which is Mac Scorpio. In the other in the next first round matchup, Tracy Cordman just made all kinds of short work with Stella Henry and moved on. And Laura Collins went ahead and trounced Blaze and moved on. So now the matchup right now is Tracy Quartermain and Laura Collins, both of Luke's exes, are battling right now in the second round. Dante Falconeri pulled out the upset victory over Damian Spinelli, and Diane Miller gave a really a big whomping to Hamilton Finn. So Dante and Diane are in the middle of their second round matchup right now. Michael Corinthos, in my opinion, was the underdog, but he did beat Gregory Chase. He moved on. And Felicia Scorpio pulled off the, I have to say it was like the Princeton UCLA upset of the 90s and took out Sonny Corinthos. So now it's Michael Corinthos against Felicia Scorpio in the second round in the General Hospital bracket. And actually, as far as last I checked, she's actually beating Michael. So she could be moving on and beat both Corinthoses back to back. In the Days of Our Lives bracket, Stephanie Johnson took out Rafe Hernandez, moved on to the second round. She's currently going against Brady Black, who took out Everett Lynch. And actually, Brady is currently ahead handily in the second round. Justin Kyriakis took out Stefan Demera and moved on. And he's currently against his nephew, Xander Kyriakis, or cousin Xander Kyriakis, who took out Johnny Damara. Sarah Horton took out Lucas Horton in the first round and moved on, and now she's facing Holly Jonas. And I have a big thing: the Xander and Sarah fandom are in full force with that
Yeah.
with those matchups, and they're helping Xander
I
and
bet.
Sarah move on. Because they're both winning in their current matchups.
I still got to watch that Xander and Sarah shower scene that happened.
I have not watched it yet.
A week ago, so. 2 weeks ago. I'm so behind on that show.
I think it's probably last week because I haven't caught up yet. And then John Black handily beat Kayla Johnson. Kristen DeMera pulled out the upset and beat Paulina Price, moving on the second round. And now John Black is in the driver's seat against Kristen in the second round. And quite honestly, it is. I couldn't believe it. And John, the John and, of course, I can't think of it right now. The John Black crew, John and Marlena, the Jarlena fandom, have gotten a hold of that those matchups. Moving on to the Y&R bracket, Diane Jenkins handily beat Mariah Copeland, moved on, and now she's facing Abby Newman, who took out legendary Jack Abbott. Nick Newman took out Chelsea Lawson and is now going against Kyle Abbott, who took out Claire Grace. Lucy Romolotti took out Sally Spectra, and now she's facing Tracy Abbott, who took out Amanda Sinclair. Devin Hamilton moved on, beating Chance Chancellor, and now is facing it Adam Newman, who took out Victoria Newman. And I actually got retweeted by Brighton James, who plays Devin Hamilton on Y&R. So that was actually really cool. Moving over to the Bold and Beautiful, Ridge Forrester lost to Donna Logan in the first round. And Eric Forrester beat Paris Buckingham, setting up Donna versus Eric, husband versus wife. Then we had Steffi Finnegan beat Carter Walton and is now taking on Katie Logan, who took out Shauna Fulton, and Katie is currently in the lead in that one. In the Bay bracket, Vivian Johnson-Garrett took out Sir Thomas Kenway to move on to the second round, and now she's taking on Zoe Johnson, who beat Orchid. Sophia Madison, the late, great Jackie Zeman, who's still currently airing on the Bay, she took out Pete Garrett, and she actually gets a bye all the way to the Sweet 16 round, which will be the Bay Championship, because Janice Ramos and Steve Jensen ended in a draw. Therefore, Sophia gets the bye and will face the winner of Vivian and Zoe in the next match. That'll happen on the 21st of March. But anyways, okay, so now that everybody's up to date, on the Soap Suds March Madness. Remember, go ahead to Twix and go to hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. And thank you all for tuning in. Hey, Nathan, welcome. Welcome to the show. And he also said hello to Vinny's mom. So, all right.
Hello.
Now that the church announcements are out of the way, well, go ahead and, Mother, introduce yourself to our audience and, you know, just kind of go over some of the stuff that you've liked over the years of GH. When did you start watching?
Oh, I started watching it almost the very beginning, 60 years ago.
Wow.
I know. And so I remember all the original people, you know, Steve Hardy and Audrey Hardy and Jesse, Nurse Jesse. Who else? Oh my God, there are so many. Oh, Lee Baldwin, Scotty's father. Yeah, it was just one of those things, you know, and I just became addicted to it, and that was it.
Wow. So you're like an OG GH fan. You're just like way back from the very beginning days. That's amazing to be watching that long. I mean, I just love meeting those fans who have like actually been there since like the very, very beginning when it was like black and white, right? It was black and white.
Yeah. And terrible acting, I might add.
Oh, wow. So maybe that's where soaps get their stereotype from, is that, oh, it's all just terribly acted stuff. Oh, and overdramatic and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it is a little overdramatic, but that's the
art. Oh, yeah.
But,
well, that's what makes it a soap, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched any of the originals?
I've only seen like bits and pieces, like clips from YouTube. Yeah. I haven't watched like a whole original like episode from the 60s.
Oh, it's so funny to watch them. Oh my God. I look back and I go, God, what horrible acting.
Oh no.
Oh, but I yeah, it was
different. Anything that early either.
What?
I said I can't say that I've watched anything that early either. I think probably the earliest I remember was like the 90s.
Yeah. But I mean, like on YouTube or something, you know, watch, you know, like watch an episode or something. It's mm-hmm. so funny to watch, you know, but it was a totally different time.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm still petitioning Disney Plus to put the library on Disney Plus because they own the entire library.
Fantastic. Yeah, that'd be so cool.
Because it started off as a half-hour show, right? Or
half
hour?
Yep.
Yeah, see, they should. Like, they used to have this thing called SoapNet where they would play really old episodes, but that was, like, mainly from, I think, the 90s and in 2000s. I don't know if they went, like, so far back. But sometimes General Hospital will have a day where they play an older episode. But it's usually no earlier than like 2012. And I'm like, come on, guys. Give us a real throwback from like at least the 90s. Like, come on. Do better.
I know. Yeah.
So who are some of your favorite characters on the show?
Oh, I love Sonny. Sonny is just a lovable character, you know, just
depending on who you talk to.
his character is just so, he portrays him so well, you know, and it's always been like that. He's just such a, I think he's a great actor. Like him. Huh?
Oh yeah. Maurice Bernard is fantastic.
Yeah. I love Jason.
Yes.
I used to love Monica and Alan. I love that whole era of when the Quartermains were really big. Like now it's not
the same. It's not.
You know, years ago it was the Quartermains were everything, you know, Edward and Lila mm-hmm. and Ned and Monica and Alan, and that was just that was a good time. I like that. They kind of like controlled everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that they were the Quartermains and Tracy. I love mm-hmm. Tracy, and I love the way they're changing her character now.
Yeah,
and they're softening her up. I really and truly, I'm really getting into her now again. And she's always been one of my favorites. Who else? I love the Luke and Laura storyline. From when they first got together, that was really good.
You didn't have an issue with them turning the beginning, like the rape, into like this great love story with Luke and Laura? Because a lot of people are like even I am like, how did they do that? She just like forgave them, and then they just fell in love. Like,
because I feel that she loved him at that point, anyways. So I think that it was like, she claimed that it was rape, but I think it was more like she really had feelings for him also at that point. You know, if you kind of look back at the storyline, you know, I think that's how it was, you know. And of course, you know, Scotty was very jealous and everything. And Scotty's been on there, oh my God, forever. Geez, he's like one of the originals too, as far as I'm concerned.
It's especially in recent years, it's been such a polarizing, you know, story with Luke and Laura, and how ABC and the show for that matter has kind of distanced themselves. Like, I believe both Jeannie Francis and Anthony Gary kind of put it in their review, and even Jeannie Francis has said in interviews that they kind of are distancing themselves from the storyline. So, you know, because of the connotation, obviously rape being a very big crime, and, you know, in the hypersensitive society that we live in, they're kind of not even acknowledging that anymore. But it does, when you look at it in context. I didn't watch the storyline. I have to go back on YouTube and watch it if they're still there. You know, when you talk to people who were watching it then, the context is different than what they put it in now.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think she really did have feelings for Luke at that point. So it really wasn't, to me, I didn't really think that it was like rape, what you would consider rape. You know what I mean? Even at that point, I didn't consider it.
Well, let's just hope you don't get canceled over that. But
don't cancel Vinny's mom. Be nice, people.
But we all know that Soap Twix is very toxic.
It's, you know, yeah, I wouldn't just don't go tweet it out, I guess.
All right, so, you know, besides the Luke and Laura storyline, what were some of your favorite or most memorable stories that you really, that you really got into over the entire, you know, history of the show?
Oh, boy. Alan, when he was with Susan Moore, and what is that, Jason's mother?
Yeah, Jason and Drew's mother. Yeah.
Right. So that was good. Jeannie Francis, when she killed some guy, let me think what it was for. I think she, if I remember correctly, she killed somebody, but she didn't remember that she killed him. And I don't remember the whole story now, you know, but at the time that was really good. I liked Leslie when she was married to Rick. That was a pretty good storyline, you know, around them, because Rick and Monica were in love. So that was a good storyline. Oh, they've had so many.
And for all of you that are listening and watching right now that, you know, can't relate to some of the storylines that my mother was talking about, go over to the Pier 54 General Hospital fan podcast feed. Their Port Charles 411 episodes, which they put one out every Thursday, they do go over a lot of these storylines, especially when they do a deep dive into a character, or certain storylines or certain places. Check them out, because they do a tremendous job on their Port Charles 411s. Again, that's Pier 54, a General Hospital fan podcast. So go check that out, and check their Port Charles 411 episodes on Thursdays. All right. So that's now kind of moving into the present. We did see the return last week of Stone Cold, Jason Morgan. We still don't know whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. Although all signs right now lead to him being a mole, so to speak, where he's still trying to protect Sonny, even though he's a hired mercenary for, you know, Jagger Cates, who is obviously an FBI agent now, and he's we still don't know the whole story. All we know is that he hired Jason. That's the only thing that we really saw this week. Am I right, or am I missing something?
No, I think that's the main thing we found out about Jason this week, is where who he was working for. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
everybody's starting to get the news that Jason is back. We know
except
that
except for Elizabeth. I don't think Elizabeth knows yet, which I'm still very mad about. I posted on Twix.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think, although Danny knows, you know, Danny did.
Yeah, that's crazy that the news hasn't reached Elizabeth yet, or maybe she has heard about it, but they're not going to mention anything yet until next week. I don't know. I'm waiting. Because, yeah. Like, Danny knows, so wouldn't he tell Jake, who he hangs out with a lot? So then Jake would eventually be like, hey, Mom, there's somebody back in town you should know about.
Although
Dad's back. He's alive now.
Although Danny and Jake aren't really seeing eye to eye right now because they're the two different personalities of Jason, whereas Jake is kind of more down to earth. Danny is more of the wild rebel child, especially after last week, Jake catching Danny vaping and going off on him about that. We did get to see a really good scene this week with Jake and Finn regarding, you know, Finn walking in on him with the vape pen and kind of talking through it.
Thoughts.
It was reminiscent.
Thoughts about that.
It was kind of reminiscent of how Franco was with Cam when Franco was trying to kind of step into the father figure role.
Yeah, like Finn is now.
Right.
And he's like, oh, did I overstep?
Yeah.
And of course, Liz is like, no. And I'm thinking, yeah, kind of. But whatever, not my business. I didn't write it. I'm just mad about it. I'm just sitting over here a little mad about it. Like you ain't even put a ring on her finger yet. You're not even engaged. Like, this is just no.
Well, the whole Finn and Liz coupling relationship has been such a polarizing story because before they did the big reset of it, there were a ton of red flags that, you know, Finn was overstepping a lot of boundaries and a lot of, you know, calling Liz's parents and all this. Like, there were just so many red flags. I really don't know why the previous regime went back to it, but now we're stuck with it. There are some people that are okay with it, but there are others who are like, it's kind of forced.
I guess at least this time he's conscious of possibly overstepping, whereas last time he was overstepping, like, all the time, he was just doing it, like, and it almost came across like he was controlling it or something, but at least this time he's like, oh, wait a minute, like, maybe I'm overstepping here, and I'm like, well, at least you're noticing that, like, you're conscious of possibly overstepping rather than just doing it and not, like, apologizing for it or anything. So, I mean, it's somewhat of an improvement with Finn's character in the last, what, year, I guess. Yeah. But I'm still like, the damage has already been done in my eyes. So you really just can't go back and go, oh, he's good now. It's okay. We rectified it.
Yeah. Like,
we fixed it. No, I'm sorry. They've already turned me off with the Finn character. I have nothing against Michael Easton. Michael Easton is great. I really had high hopes for him and Becky to have, like, this great chemistry, but I feel like more of a friend's spark than a lover's.
I feel like they dropped the ball with Hamilton Finn as a character, because I feel like when they had the opportunity, they should have brought him back as John McBain. Because that was the absolute best character that Michael Easton has ever played outside of theoretically, he could be an awesome Batman just because of his voice.
Let's put that out into the universe.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind him playing Batman as opposed to whoever they have now, which I think is Ben Affleck, right? Or
I don't know.
Christian Bale, I don't keep up
with the latest.
Who?
Batman.
Who was that?
I don't keep up with the latest.
Oh,
yes. Watch a lot of superhero movies. Sometimes they intrigue me. I did watch Madam Web, which is
I didn't
Marvel.
See, I heard it bombed at the
bottom. It was good. I actually thought it was pretty good, but that's just me. I'm kind of a Dakota fan, so I saw it because of her, and I actually thought she did pretty good, but that's just me. Yeah.
All right.
That's just me. That's the only reason I saw it. I'm not really a superhero fan, though.
So Chad chimes into the chat and said he thinks that Laura blocked out killing Rick, if he's not mistaken. I know she killed a man named David Hamilton as a teenager.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, David Hamilton.
Oh, and that storyline. Okay.
And she may have killed Rick. And she
isn't that why she went cosmatose and went into a vegetable state in the hospital for a long
maybe.
time?
Yeah.
Killed somebody or something major happened for her to go into that vegetative state. For all those years, because that's when I started watching, is when she was in the hospital and Lulu was visiting her mom and like wishing she was there and able to talk to her. And there was this whole thing with Lulu and Luke about, you know, like visiting mom. And it was a big, it was a good storyline development, good character development for Luke.
And it's amazing how soaps can keep characters alive for so long in vegetative state, or like with Lulu in a coma right now. So they bring them back. And then you have Jason, who, you know, gets buried under rubble, is able to get a full sleeve tattoo when he, you know, gets out. Although I will say it's actually very funny to watch Steve Burton on both General Hospital and Days of Our Lives concurrently, because Harris Michaels hasn't wrapped up because Days filmed 6 months in advance. So there's still another 2 months of programming on Days.
Oh yeah, that's true.
While, you know, Jason is obviously back with General Hospital.
Yeah, that's because Days films like 8 months ahead of time or something crazy like that.
But you know, we're happy to have him back, and he did say he wants to end his career with General Hospital, because, you know, and I'm glad that they're finally writing. They righted the wrong with the vaccine mandate.
Wow. If this is his swan song, then let's make it count.
Exactly.
let's make it count. Hopefully I get some Jason Elizabeth out of it. I'm still not counting on any great romance. There is a campaign. Jason Elizabeth fans are still out there and we're still like campaigning for them to write for Jason Elizabeth. But me personally, I feel like I've been burned too many times by the writing in the head regime that I'm just like, look. If y'all even put them in scenes together once a month, I'll take it. Like, just on a regular basis at this point. Like, I'll take it. But the crumbs every 3 to 6 months, I'm like, come on, it's not cutting it, guys. Not when they share a kid together. That's not cutting it for me.
You know, and here's the thing, is that I want to see Jason. I like the storyline, the way it's progressing thus far. It's something new, something we really wouldn't think about. Obviously, Jagger is holding something over Jason's head. So if he doesn't do what he's being told, something is going to happen to somebody he loves. Is it Carly? Is it Sam? Is it, you know, obviously based on Drew's reaction this week in breaking up with Carly, you know, because he's, you know, he's assuming that she's going to go right back to Jason and Jason comes first. And we've seen that in the past. So Drew's kind of cutting his losses at this point. That's probably the first smart thing he's done.
Honestly, I kind of like Drew had some really valid points.
Yeah.
This week when he broke up with Carly, I was like, valid, valid, valid. He named like all his reasons, and I was like, I'm not gonna argue with you, dude. I can't find a reason to argue with you because you're right. Like, she's gonna put Carly and Sunny first, so like he's like, I can't compete with Jason, and like, yeah, you really can't, man. I'm sorry. Like, I agreed with him. I found it kind of admirable, and that was kind of shocking to Carly because it seemed like it came out of nowhere to her, which I could see why how it did. But I was just like,
but
I don't mind.
Do either of you have any? Or should I say, was it a surprise to either of you that the first person that Jason goes to for help was Carly?
Of course it wasn't.
Right. Yeah, no, that was not shocking. I mean, of course I would have loved for it to be Elizabeth, but come on. Like, you kind of knew, like, people had told me this on Twix. Somebody told me this on Twix, too. And it was like, well, you could tell by the anniversary special they did in primetime is when they had that very end where he opens the door and it's Carly and Sam on either side, that those are probably the two people he's going to interact with the most when he comes back, which is fine.
All right. So, I mean,
I guess.
I don't think we've ever actually given a deep dive to the liaison pairing. But because I wasn't watching back then, was it a, you know, obviously it does have a fandom, you're part of it, but was it something where it was like pushed to the back burner, where it was just, well, one night stand? I know they're friends, you know, I know that when Jason was having his brain tumor surgery a decade ago or whenever it was, they had the three different dreams of Carly, Sonny, Carly, Sam, and Elizabeth, where, you know, all three of them cared about Jason and wanted to envision their life with him. But was it just kind of pushed to the back burner? Or because they're not showing any kind of momentum that way?
You know, it has to, I think a lot of it had to do with who was writing for them at the time. And Guza, I believe, was a big fan of the Jason Elizabeth pairing. So when he left, Jason Elizabeth just kind of got the boot. So what happened was they really started developing a friendship in 1999 when Elizabeth went to the bar and she started dancing with this guy who was just putting a little bit too aggressive on the dance floor with her. And he kind of rescued her from that. And then she was kind of mad at him. And he was like, why are you mad at me? And they have this great conversation. She was like, do you know what it's like to feel nothing? And he's like, yeah, I feel like that every day. And then, and they just have this great friendship from there. And then he asked her on a motorcycle ride. And that was like just the beginning of everything. It was just the beginning of their friendship. And it was beautiful. And then you could tell, like, if you read between the lines, that there was deeper feelings than friendship. And they just kind of built on that. Like, Jason left, you know, multiple times, twice, between 99 and like 2002. And every time he came back, it was a really big deal that Jason and Elizabeth would reconnect. And so they rebuilt that. And they didn't actually kiss until June of 2002. So you were waiting like 3 years, well, not maybe 3 years, almost 3 years, if you were really waiting since that first day in 99 for them to like get together and you really like them, then yeah. But, you know, more or less 2 or 3 years you were waiting for them to kiss. And then they were kind of a thing, but then Xander came along and kind of ruined that and put the kibosh on that, because then they were in this like love triangle thing, and then she kind of chose Xander even though she really still had feelings for Jason. And
was Xander the one that raped her, or who was it?
No
okay, I don't know.
No, she got raped in 98.
Oh, okay.
By a guy, oh god, do you remember the name, Mama Sharon? I don't remember.
I don't think I was watching at that point, because I went many years just watching sporadically because I was working full time.
Yeah. So I bet Chatter Nathan in the chat probably know. But I try to block out his name. I don't know. It was a very traumatic, but it was a very epic storyline because it was written by Michelle Valjean. It was very epic. Like, her and Becky are still friends to this day, the person who wrote the rape storyline. And Jason and Elizabeth really began like 2 years after she had gotten raped. So, but she knew him. Lucky had actually introduced her to Jason, and they were like in the same scenes. They were at like the same wedding like a few months prior to that. So they knew of each other, but they didn't really know each other until August of 99. But anyway, things happen. They never had the right timing. The timing was never their strong suit. So then, you know, August of 2006 happens. They started really ramping up their scenes at the beginning of 2006, because I think they were building it up to Lucky cheating on Elizabeth with Maxie at the time. And then she goes to Jason, and that was the same night that Jason had found Sam with Rick at the, what, at Alexis's house or whatever. That, I still am shocked that he still got back with her after he saw her with Rick. It still boggles my mind. And anyway, so they share that night of passion. Some people call it a one night stand. We as liaison fans call it the night of passion. And that was something very meaningful, and they had their love child, Jake. And then it was just, again, it was a timing thing, because he ended up getting back with Sam maybe like 2 or 3 months later after that. I was so pissed. But it happened. Whatever. It happened. So then he got back with Sam again, and then he ended up breaking up with Sam because she watched Jake get kidnapped in summer of 2007. And then they have this great scene where he actually threatened that he would kill Sam, which is my favorite J-Sam scene of all time. Because I'm not a J-Sam fan, so I really love that scene. And I mean, it was just never good timing. But then Jason Elizabeth tried to make it work from about August of 2007 till about basically the end of 2008. Where they kind of like got together, broke up, and then they got back together, and then they broke up like a couple of times. And he kept saying, oh, it's too dangerous. And I mean, a lot of it could have had to do with the fact that like Liz was not like probably built for that kind of mob lifestyle. And he thought about leaving the mob for her a couple of times. And then it just didn't happen. He's like, okay, I'm going to tell Sonny. And then Kate gets shot. And then Michael gets shot. And it just, like, they had a 30-second engagement in April of 2008, and then Michael gets shot. It's like, it just was never, the timing was just, they always found Jason, well, Jason especially, always found a reason. And Elizabeth tried to convince him so many times, like, I don't care. I will have security. We will have security for the kids. Like, I will make this work because I love you. Like, you know, like, love doesn't make sense. It's not logic. Like, I still love you. Like, I want to make this work. And it just, they couldn't get it to work. And then he finally broke up with her in the courthouse in December of 2008, and then that was it. And then they got, and then by the time 2009 started, I tried to start watching, but I could tell they were on their way to putting Jason and Sam back together, and then the whole sex in Mexico happened, and I was like, yeah, it's done. It's done, it's over. And so yeah, they got pushed away because they were front burner storyline from like basically 2006 to 2008. They were like front burner. And then they just pushed them off. And I really think that had a lot to do with Guza, who wasn't writing for them anymore. So I think it has a lot to do with the writing regimen. If they have writers who are like liaison fans, then they'll get written for. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, then they don't. But then I think it also has to do with Frank too. Like, I really feel like Frank Valentini, who's the executive producer, I feel like he has to be on board.
Of course. Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just not going to write for them. And when I met him, I think I met him in 2012 at the GH fan club weekend. I remember telling him like, oh, I'm such a big Jason Elizabeth fan. Like, I have a radio show for them, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He didn't seem that impressed by that. So I'm guessing he's not really a liaison fan. Like, that's my guess. That's just a guess. But I don't think he's a liaison fan. So I think it would have to take some convincing from the head writers to be like, hey, they're a huge part of GH history. You need to, like, we need to write for them again. They need to have a story in this. But I just have a feeling that if Elizabeth is part of Jason's comeback story, it's probably a very small part, unfortunately, which is such a slap in the face to liaison fans because, I mean, he has a kid with her. So she should be part of the story. But is she? I'm not counting on a big part, unfortunately.
Although, I mean, it does open up the possibility of her being in there for a couple reasons. One, like you said, Daniel could tell Jake that, you know, Jason's there, Jason's alive. We know that Danny went to Michael and Willow for help with Jason because he was shot and everything. You know, Danny's living at the Quartermains right now while Dante is in the hospital because Sam is over there. So, I mean, it makes sense. Could he have called Elizabeth because she's a head nurse and Willow just started as a nurse? Perhaps, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it does open up the possibility of Elizabeth being in that, you know, in that kind of storyline, especially because, you know, we know that, you know, Jason, you know, didn't shoot Dante. So we're going to wait for that to come out as well. Before we get into anything else, I do want to let everybody know, go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, hit that notification bell. If you are on listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else, give us a 5-star review. It definitely helps with pushing us into different directions. Also, one other thing I want to put out, go ahead and go to your podcast feed and look up Easter Hair, or it is under JLJ Media's podcasts. I think the Easter Hair has its own feed, unless it's just under JLJ Media. Two new audio dramas are going to be coming out within the next couple of weeks. They are actually Easter Hair prequel specials. One is called The Messenger. One is called Love at First Kill. I am starring in both of them. And also my wife is in another one, is in, I believe it's The Messenger as well. So definitely check that out on JLG Media's podcast feeds. They'll be out relatively soon, before Easter. Okay, so now that we got some programming notes out of the way, let's go ahead and kind of switch gears and kind of talk the Jason stuff into existence and see where that goes. But Jason has been on the hearts and minds of just about everybody in Port Charles. Sonny, he seems to think that Jason changed because, you know, there would be no way that Jason would, shoot Dante. So, and the fact that he was up on the roof with the shooter, they don't show what happened to the other guy who Jason shot. You know, there's no body there. Now, were you?
He's probably gone. He's probably irrelevant at this point.
I agree.
Probably why. Why haven't show that?
Yeah, no, I agree. He's one of those, you know, henchmen number one that gets killed in the first scene. But one thing that I really liked was how Nina went to Ava and's like, you know, could you kind of get me some inroads with Sonny? And now we see that kind of Ava and Sonny are kind of getting closer. And, you know, could we, I almost was waiting for them to hook up in the chapel there.
Because, yeah, me. You know,
they
right? Did you guys see sparks? I saw sparks. Yep.
Oh yeah. I mean, they hooked up in a mausoleum.
Nothing's off limits for them. They'll have sex anywhere, right?
Yeah. But you know, there were definite sparks between Ava and Sonny. And I think it actually might be pulling Ava back into that mob lifestyle, you know, because she got out of it. You know, she was the head of the Jerome crime family. She was, you know, when Julian was around, she was helping him out. And now could it be that, you know, she's gearing up, you know, to get back in and help out with Sonny?
I don't mind. She's got a great cover story. She already owns an art gallery, so she could just like hide her mob activity, keep it a secret or something, you know? Like, I don't have a problem with it. I actually think her and Sonny are a good pairing.
Yeah.
I honestly do, because I think she's like his voice of reason in a way, because she also knows the mob business, so she knows what he's dealing with, and she just kind of can either like talk him down if he's like really hot-headed or whatever. Yeah. Like, I think it's a good pairing, honestly. I feel like
Ava is probably the most cerebral of any of the women that, at least that I've seen Sonny be with. I feel like he's got a type, you know, with Nina and Carly, no matter, even though they're at odds, and I know people are, I might get some hate for this, but I feel like they are two of the same type of people. Carly's gotten better, but she's still somebody who's very impulsive. And we know Nina is like a bull in the china shop. You know, so Nina will do things without thinking about consequences, but Carly was the same way and could still be the same way, but she has gotten a lot better. I think Ava is probably a better fit for Sonny at this point in time. How about you? Do you have any feelings on that? I mean, outside of the fact of seeing sparks, when you actually look at the relationship, do you think that Sonny and Ava are a good match?
I like the Sonny and Ava thing. I wouldn't mind that. I mean, I didn't mind the Nina thing with Sonny either. But you know, she's got a lot of baggage.
Hey, you can say that again.
And of course I never liked Carly, so you know, I didn't really care for him being with Carly, but I think, yeah, I would think that it would be cool if he got together with Ava.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really good pairing. We'll have to see, because we know the new writers, Elizabeth Corte and Patrick Mulcahy. Elizabeth's been there for almost 30 years, and we know that she's a very big Carly fan. I, you know, so it begs to see where they're going to go. And I know that they still are working on outlines from the previous regime. Chris and Dan's outlines are still probably until the next preparing live stream. Did we lose the live stream? No.
I don't know. I'm going to step away for one second because I actually have to get my charger.
Okay. But we, you know, so we're still seeing stuff from the previous. It looks like we lost the live stream. I apologize for that. I apologize for that, folks. Somehow we lost it for a second, but we're back. And they're still working off of the previous regime's outlines. Elizabeth and Patrick's outlines will be going into effect for the next week or so. And we'll see. But I did see on Friday's episode that I just watched today, that they're starting to move towards some of the things that the fans have been asking for. And they've been starting to move toward, they did make a couple of steps.
Like what?
Well, first off, everybody who loves Gregory Harrison as an actor and feel like Gregory Chase is being underutilized, everybody's saying, why are they killing him off with ALS?
Yeah.
So Finn talked to a neurologist on Friday's episode who he was friends with and has been there for a while. And
yeah, but he blew him off.
I don't know if he blew him off, but he said, could you take a look at it? So I think they might be going for maybe an ALS misdiagnosis. You know, people have been calling for that. And then there was one other one that I caught on Friday's episode. Can't remember. What was it? With you know, they already did the misdiagnosis with Marshall, you know, and him, you know, not having schizophrenia, and you know, and Kevin kind of came out and said, listen, these people are going to you know, they misdiagnosed you because you were young, you were angry, you know, and said you were Black, and he kind of said it point blank.
Yeah.
So I thought it was actually a pretty good, you know, conversation between Kevin and, you know, Marshall and Curtis and Stella. Let's see. They also went ahead and there was one other thing that I caught I can't remember. But either way, I feel like they're making some strides to kind of change a couple of things in the programs. That was it. Alexis. Diane came and said, do you want to be my partner?
Yeah.
Oh, and said,
I'm not sure about that.
No, not Alexa. I said Alexis. but no, and you know, with Diane saying, I can go to the Supreme Court and I can argue and get you your, you know, your license.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been clamoring to get her back as a lawyer because she's being wasted. Nancy Lieron, no matter if you agree with her political views or not, I personally don't, but that's besides the point. Whether you agree with her or not, she's a fantastic actor. And I thought she really played into Nina on Friday's episode, especially because of the gossip column and how Diane said, the, you know, how could you, you know, publish this stuff? So
yeah, you know, yeah, no, like, Diane had really good points, and I liked her offer to Alexis, like, hey,
yeah,
you can come work with me, and I can probably go to get that Supreme Court ruling overturned. And I was like, oh wow, I actually like that. Yeah. Alexis and Diane working together, like, that would be what a duo that would be. Yeah, I really like that, and I kind of hope it happens. I kind of hope she takes her up on the offer, because
I do too.
I think people miss seeing Alexis as a lawyer, you know, like just seeing her write this magazine and now with Nina there trying to get her to write this gossip thing. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I really don't like the storyline that they're going with, that they're writing with Nina and Alexis and, you know, the whole newspaper thing. Like, I feel like it's one of those things that you really don't need to know in a soap opera. Like, they kind of just threw Nancy Legron the bone and said, here, we're going to do this because we took away your law license. Let's work to get it back. You know, let's work to get it back. Let Diane pull the strings. She's, you know, as I've said before, and we do have a shirt, you know, saying she's a business in the streets and freaking the sheets. And, you know, you can go to sudssquarecircle.threadless.com to buy that shirt. So it is available. All right. So how do you guys feel about Diane and Robert and that pairing? Because that's another polarizing pairing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're too similar, you know. I think they're like two of a kind. I don't know. It seems like an odd pairing to me.
I like a lot of their verbal barbs towards each other.
Oh yeah, I like that too. But I think that's why I say they're two of a kind.
They're not really clicking on
opposite sides.
Sharon, would you say you feel any chemistry between them? Because I don't.
No. Not real. I think, like I said, I think their characters are too similar. I don't know. That's just my feeling.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's fine for them to go at it, like in the courtroom, you know, against each other. I think that's really the only thing working for them. But outside that, to try to make them as like this romantic pairing, and like, I know they were like doing it in the hotel room or whatever the other week, and I was just like, I don't need to see that. I'm sorry. This is not working for me. this is not doing anything for me. I was like, that's great, Diane's getting some action, but I don't see any sparks. I'm sorry.
No, I don't either.
All right. Well, another place that we saw potential sparks, Drew and Jordan this week.
Oh.
You know, Drew was working out at, you know, on the punching bag at the gym that Sonny owns. And Jordan happened to walk in. Do you think they were chem testing them for a possible relationship? Because, you know, we know that, first of all, I'm still pissed that Zeke got scared from the stray bullet and left. I mean, Jordan and Zeke were a good pairing.
That was hot. They had a hot love scene. I was like, dang, bring that guy back. What happened? Why'd they drop him off?
I think he just got scared from the gunshot.
I don't.
And left.
I guess he doesn't. I guess he's not brave enough for her then. I don't know. But it's a shame.
It is. But then, you know, so now Jordan and Drew, I don't know. Do you think that could be a good pairing? I mean, Drew right now is going through some type of, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or it's a change in character where, you know, now he's not taking crap from anybody and, you know, he's just going to put it all out there. Mr. Nice Guy.
He's messed up
from prison.
He's in his reputation era. I don't know. I mean, he's just like revenge on Nina. That's like the only, that is like his main objective is revenge. Yeah, he doesn't dress for a woman. He doesn't dress for men. He's just dressing for revenge now.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I can understand the PTSD from prison and being a Navy SEAL and being locked up on Cassadine Island for 2 years or whatever. But I really feel like he's exhibiting a lot, you know, where he needs to get help. Like, that's the kind of storyline that he needs right now. He doesn't need another relationship. He needs to get help for himself, you know?
Yeah.
Because, honestly, you know, if he's going to go through... Now, like I said before, I personally saw no problem with what he said to Nina when, you know, Nina let, you know, when he finally found out that Nina was the one that called the SEC. I found nothing wrong with that because he specifically pointed out, you know, I can't do to you what I want to because you're a woman. So I have no problem with what he, with how he addressed that, but he can't, you know, I fully believe that, you know, using a punching bag is a great outlet for some of that negative energy that he's been having, but he does need help.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, I'm a big advocate for therapy. Everybody could use some therapy, especially plenty of characters in General Hospital. Do they seek out therapy? Maybe no. About 20% get that. Yeah, they don't really. But yeah, Sharon's right. Like, they really.
No.
Therapy is not their first thought. Oh, I'm kind of messed up. Like, I'm kind of going through stuff. But therapy, what's that?
Right.
Well, speaking of somebody that really needs therapy.
Heather
Weber, yes.
Oh, Lord. Send her to Shady Brook for sure.
Well, here's the thing.
She is something. Such a great character.
Let me tell you
something. I love her, though. I love her craziness. It's fun to watch.
And I really feel like Allie Mills has made it her own. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
100%.
I really feel like she's kind of taking it, the character, in a whole new direction. And I really, really enjoyed it. But she's now being poisoned by her hip implant.
You're right.
You know, and she has metallosis or, you know, cobalt metallosis. So now they have to do that. And the screwed up part is that Laura is the one with her medical power of attorney.
Yeah.
You know, she's the closest, apparently the closest thing to family that Heather has. And I absolutely loved, now they're going to say that because of her hip implant and everything, that's the reason why she was the poor Charles Hooker last year. And
she'll probably get out of prison.
Yes. I mean, they've done brain tumors. This is a new one for Soap.
Anything to get anybody out of prison, because who really goes to prison for a long time on soaps anyway?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Except for, you know, we know that Nicholas Cassadine is still in prison. Adam Huss has not been filming.
It's off screen, though.
Well, yeah, it's off
screen. On screen, I think the only people we've seen in prison for an extended period of time is like Jason, Michael,
Cyrus.
Yeah.
John Drew, Butler.
They always come up with reasons to come out, you know?
Right. Nobody ever does like a full-on prison sentence for like 20 years. Like, nobody does that. You get a few months and then you get out.
Yeah. Because they're needed on the show.
Yeah. They're needed in other storylines. They're not going to have someone in prison forever, because then they're going to have fans complaining, and why are they still in prison? Get them out.
Let's see. So, all right. So, kind of moving on, let's kind of get into some of the other stories that we've been neglecting, you know. Kevin is the one that told Marshall and Curtis as to why Marshall was misdiagnosed. Here we go. Here's one that I'm wondering about. Is Selena Wu going to turn on Sonny?
Who knows? I don't trust her at all.
I wouldn't trust her with a 10-foot pole. like, that woman is...
Yes. Yeah. And the talented Lydia Look, who was actually on the Dirty Deeds, General Hospital's Dirty Deeds, from James Law Jr. this week. But she did go to, who did she go to this week? And just kind of wants to turn the tables on Sonny. It was Curtis again. She wanted to turn the tables on Sonny and start, doing things on her own and without him knowing, because he's a but apparently going soft or whatever the case may be. Do you think that Selena's gonna turn her back on Sonny and stab him in the back?
Yeah, you never know.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take that off the table.
Well, I mean, it remains to be seen, but I'm glad that Selena's getting a little bit more TV time.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
her
if
on the
they ever
show.
give her a love interest, whoo,
Yeah.
that'd be interesting.
I
Who's
was
gonna
actually
handle that
right.
woman?
I was actually I was actually looking at I was actually reading some of the comments. I think it was a couple few months ago, maybe a year ago, before Curtis got paralyzed. People were starting to put Selena and Curtis in a relationship because he was letting her use his back room for poker games and everything. So I don't know. That's a I don't know if
I
that.
don't know. I feel like she'd betray someone so fast if they
Oh.
did something that pissed her off. Woo, that person get cut real quick.
All right. Dex, do you think he sticks around Port Charles? Do you think Jocelyn could give him enough reasons to stay?
It's, this is a hard one because I watched their, conversation. And then they always end
You
up in
call
bed
that.
together. And I
Yeah.
think Joss is trying to like convince him with sex. Like, hey, stick around, But I don't think that's the solution because the problem's still there after you have the sex. So it's like delaying the inevitable. Like you're still gonna have to have the conversation. Like, yes, you're crazy attracted to each other, and yes, the sex life is amazing, but that's like you need to talk about this, and you need to either come to a conclusion, but it looks like he's gonna leave no matter what.
Well,
And then Joss, I think, came to a conclusion. I don't know, shoot, I watched like today, so I feel like I can't believe I don't know if this was Friday, but I feel like there was a conversation they did finally have, and she walked away from him and she says, well, I can't do this.
I haven't watched this yet, so I'll have to.
Okay, maybe it was today. So I'm sorry if I spoiled it. But I mean, they finally have a conversation about it. So it looks like they might be splitting up. But I just feel like that's such a popular pairing that they're gonna find a way to keep them together. Cause they I mean the chemistry with them is just like off the charts. And because I think they're dating in real life too. So, like, I mean, you could just feel it coming through the freaking screen.
Yeah.
The second he like carries her, to go to the bedroom, I'm like, dang, he really knows what he's doing. Like, this is just like you can't stop watching it. It's just good. They just got amazing chemistry. Like, I'm just like, it's like a moth to the flame kind of thing. You just can't stop watching it. It's just good stuff. Plus, I mean, I don't think they're going to have Dex off screen, even if he leaves town. Like, I don't think he's going to be off screen really,
Yeah.
because I mean, he's eye candy for the show. Okay, and General Hospital knows that we love to see the nice shirtless men on our screen who look really good, and Dex is one of those people. So I don't think he's going to leave the show.
Think I've heard some rumors, and it could be where Dex is revealed as Jagger's son. Could be a possibility. There's some of these rumors that are out there that Dex could be Jagger's son. Obviously they've been playing that maybe he's Jason's son, which I don't think. So I mean there are ways to keep him in Port Charles. I think eventually he ends up staying because I think even because when Sonny overheard that Dex and Jocelyn were the ones that saved Dante, you know, you kind of saw Sonny's surprised look. And I think that Sonny's going to go to Dex and be like, you saved my son. I owe you a favor, or, you know, I owe you. And if he says, I want to stay in Port Charles, he could, you know, Sonny being the godfather could grant that, you know, for him. I'm just, you know, I don't know if that's how it's going to happen, but that could happen.
Yeah, maybe he's just like, all is forgiven. You saved my son. It's all good. We're fine. Like, I won't kill you or anything.
Right.
I don't know.
Let me kind of catch up on chat a little bit. I haven't really been talking, so I apologize to Chad, who's been posting.
Yeah.
And he said that he did like Robert and Holly instead of Robert and Diane, so he's biased. But he's indifferent to Robert and Diane like he is to Trip and Wendy on Days. I actually like the Trip and Wendy relationship on Days.
Well, that was cute for a minute.
They're still together, at least
they're still together. Okay.
Because
I think Johnny was trying to get with Wendy for a second, and then that's the one that fizzled out, because now he's with Chanel.
Johnny is with Chanel on Days, which I like that pairing too. He did say Curtis and Portia. I know there was a moment between Marshall and Stella, but I don't know if they're still going there. But they're the only black pairing, so I would love to see Jordan with a bro. I can understand that. I wouldn't. I think they do need to have a little bit more representation in that character.
They do. Yeah. I like the black and black pairings more. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Chad said he laughed out loud at Laura and Kevin's response to Laura being the one the closest thing to Heather's family, because Kevin said good luck with that. He also said that except Blackie, John Stamos in the 80s, who went to prison in 84 and has never gone out.
Oh, wow. That's a good throwback. Thanks for mentioning that.
And then he could see Selena sometime down the road turning on Sonny. So thank you for your contribution. Chad is always a great chatter.
He's here because he knows I'm here. I know, Chad. Chad's my friend. He supports. Thank you, Chad.
All right. So there's really not. I mean, I think we've kind of covered every storyline out there right now. I do hope the new writers continue to push towards Alexis getting her law license back, and, you know, getting Gregory the misdiagnosis. And I can't wait to see how the hip replacement is going to change Heather's
right.
Psychosis. So it remains to be seen, but Ma, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we leave, what we do every episode is we end with what we call the thankful minute. Each of us gets a minute on the clock, and we share what we're thankful for, just to kind of keep things grounded, realizing that we talk about a fantasy world all episode and everything. We just kind of keep it real. And we end with a thankful minute every episode.
Can I ask your mom a couple questions?
Oh, before sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because I don't know some stuff. So we talked a little bit about Jason and Elizabeth, and I touched on how I don't really care for Jason and Sam, but do you have a favorite pairing for Jason?
Favorite pairing for Jason. I don't think I've really seen a lot of his relationships, because I really wasn't watching for so long. Like I said, I would watch sporadically. So I don't really recall knowing many of his relationships. No, I don't know. Yeah, I can't answer that question.
Gonna have to send Sorry. you the I'm just going to have to send you the Jason Elizabeth playlist and get you on my team.
I know. Yeah. I don't remember when he was with Elizabeth. I don't remember when he was with Sam.
It's not that memorable, in my opinion. They keep trying to do them over like a million times. And
I hope they don't go back to Jason and Sam, because I really like Sam with Dante.
Yes. I like
Sam and Dante.
I like Sante, and that was my worst fear is when Dante got shot. I was like, please don't do the easy way out and kill off Dante to make J-Sam work again. Because I swear if you're going there, I'm going to be really pissed, because that's a really lazy way to do it. So they didn't let him die, right? So I'm just like, don't do that, G.H. Don't do it.
Who else was Jason with?
Courtney, which was Sonny's sister. That was a thing for like a year, I think. He was with
Brenda.
He was with Brenda, but it was like not.
It was not really romantic.
It was just kind of like a marriage of convenience at some point, I think. Robin was like one of his first loves before Elizabeth came along. It was Robin. He was with Robin before Liz. He was also with Carly, but it was more of like a friends with benefits situation.
Yeah, that I remember a lot.
Yeah.
I do remember that, but see, I don't like Carly. So I wouldn't say that I liked him with her. And even when they got married before Sonny came back.
Yeah.
I was really upset about that.
Yeah. A lot of people call that like a rewriting of their history. Like, he never really cared for her or loved her in that way. And then they kind of just went there. And I was like, really? Yeah. We're doing this? Okay.
Well, because it was supposed to be for convenience, you know, but.
Yeah, but I don't know. They made him seem like he really had feelings for her, like romantic feelings. That even surprised me. But I was like, hey. The Jarley fans are just living right now. And I have a really good friend, Celia, who is my co-host on Liaison Radio. And she was like thrilled about it. I'm like, well, good. Enjoy your like 15 seconds of fame, however long this lasts. So, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, I just had to know. I was curious what Mama Sharon's favorite pairings were. And if Jason's pairings made the list at all.
Yep. Yeah, as long as he's not with Carly, I just don't like her. I never liked her character, you know?
Yeah, no, Carly's one of those people, like, Laura Wright is a fantastic actor. I feel like Laura Wright is the best version of Carly.
Yeah, that I can agree on. Yeah, that I can agree on.
I think you either love or hate Carly. I think that's just you're just one of the two camps.
There's a lot of people on the show that are you either love or hate. You know, whether it's Nina, whether it's Carly, whether it's Finn. There are a few that are universally loved, at least as far as I know. But I have to say Tracy is one of those people.
I used to hate Carly, I think, to some degree, and then I kind of warmed up to her.
Interesting.
I used to like Carly,
but now she's got on my nerves. So,
see, I like Carly the majority of the time. I actually don't mind her, but there are some times where I'm like, okay, Carly, you can cut it out. Like, that's enough of that.
Well, That's how I was with Nina. I've always been okay with Nina. I had no problem with
her. You tolerated her.
Yeah,
like
I tolerated her. You know, not that I really was a big fan of her, but I tolerated her. I could see where she was coming from. But over the past couple weeks, I just can't stand her anymore. I can't stand the whining. I can't stand the, oh, woe is me. And, you know, blaming everybody but yourself. I can't take it anymore. I'm just done with Nina.
It's constant. No, I don't really like her even more now that she's putting Ava between a rock and a hard place, because now she's like friends with Sonny, but at the same time, like, Nina's trying to get her to do favors.
Yeah.
To save her marriage with Sonny. And I'm like.
And then with Nina going to Nancy Lee Ground's character, for the, you know, for the invader, and not wanting her to print anything about Sonny anymore, because she, you know, he thinks that, you know, like when she went to Dex and said, "Oh, please apologize, Sonny. I didn't know that they were going to print that in the invader." And Jocelyn's like, "Hey, Dex, have you ever seen Sonny's paper, you know, right, before?" You know, like, why is she going so crazy trying to make sure that he's not looking at the bad light? Like,
she's like knocking on everybody who has a connection to Sonny. She's knocking on everybody's door who has a connection to Sonny to try to like get a message to him. And it's coming off super annoying.
Her to wake Dante up from the coma and say, "Could you tell your dad that I'm sorry?"
Yeah, like, yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I can't take Nina anymore. I'm done with her. And again, you got to preface this because there's too many people who can't think for reality. But this has nothing to do with Cynthia Watros. You know, she's a fantastic actor. I'm gonna put that out there. This is the character of Nina Reeves.
Yeah.
But
character issue.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, before we leave, we're gonna do the thankful minute. I do want to thank all of you for watching and listening. Go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to it. Give it. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Also, make sure you use that hashtag and search the hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. It is in full effect. We are in round 2. You've got until tomorrow morning to vote in the General Hospital and Days of Our Lives brackets for round 2. You have until Wednesday morning to vote for the Y&R, B&B, and the Bay round 2 brackets. So go ahead and search that out. And again, we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go to sudsandsquirtcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That has the affiliate link in there, and we do earn a commission on that. Go over to Patreon and buy me a coffee. Both of them are patreon.com, buymeacoffee.com, and /sudsandsquirtcircle. Go ahead and give us a donation. I'm still working on trying to get media credentials for WrestleMania coming up next month. I will be in Philadelphia. So I'm trying to get some media credentials for the media scrum after the event. Just some programming notes again. Today being the 18th of March, next week we will have a big announcement for the Sudsies coming up in the summer. And also Dockside at the Bay tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right here. We'll be going over the Bay, the Beginning, episode number 10. So Kim and I will be there for that, 10 p.m. tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night right here. All right, so going over to the thankful minute, we'll let our guest of honor go first. I'll go ahead and put a minute on the clock and just let everybody know, Mama, what you're thankful for.
Oh, I am thankful for you and your program and for having me come on and enjoy talking about General Hospital with all you lovely people. This was fun. I really enjoyed it. And I'm always thankful for my healthy family. And I'm just thankful in general for our health and our happiness. And it's been fun tonight. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Christy, I'll go ahead and put a minute on the clock for you. Go ahead and tell everybody what you're thankful for.
All right. Well, I'm thankful you had your mom on the podcast. I'm so excited to meet your mom and learn more about your mom. It's nice having someone else on the podcast. Let's see. I'm just thankful for the rest I got over the weekend. I needed a lot of rest. I just needed rest. I'm actually grateful the St. Patty's Day Parade got rescheduled where I am, and it got rescheduled to after Easter because there was just rain and it was just not a good storm yesterday, so I'm actually grateful for that because it gave me a nice chance to rest. I'm grateful for friends who always check in on me. I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for, I don't know, I'm so grateful for my job. Got to work from home last week. Grateful for that. That allows a little bit more flexibility to my schedule when I get to work from home. It's always nice to do that. And I don't know. That's kind of it. That's all I can think of right now. So
all right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that. Before I get to my thankful minute, I do have to go ahead and give out some condolences. Last week, for those of you who have followed my personal career in podcasting, and prior to that, I was on Public Access TV, the Sports Wire, which was my show, was all about sports and wrestling and all of that. It kind of helped build my foundation for, you know, broadcasting. One of our co-hosts, colleagues from that show, who actually was the winner of the Who Wants to Be a Sportscaster competition back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Kenny Gregory, who was a friend of mine for a long time, was a member of the show at that point. He passed away at the age of 42 last week. His services are coming up this weekend in Cape Cod. So I did want to at least give out condolences and prayers to his family. You know, he was a good guy. We had our ups and downs as friends, and there were a lot of things that happened, that, you know, when I was younger, I could have been very selfish about, but lo and behold, he was a good friend to me. And while we had kind of lost touch over the years, the fact is that he was still a good friend. So I do want to send out my condolences to his family, and his, you know, his wife that he's leaving behind, and his friends as well. There are things up on YouTube on my other page, that have him in there. If you are interested in checking that out, go over to my other YouTube page and look up things like Sportswire, the movie. Looks like some of our older Sportswire episodes are up there, and I believe he's in some of them as well. So check that out. All right. So for my thankful minute, honestly, I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for my new job. For those of you that know, I did get a job at Whole Foods. I am enjoying the job tremendously. I'm very thankful that I found something. I'm thankful for the audience that's growing for this podcast and stuff. And, you know, we're still on the low side, but eventually it's going to grow. I'm thankful for Chad coming into the chat and you know, retweeting, reposting a lot of the, you know, posts that I put up from the Suds Twix account. I'm thankful for Christy coming on, because she's a fantastic co-host. And I'm thankful for my mother, who lived through a lot of wrestling stuff from when I was younger. And I'm glad that we're able to bond over General Hospital now. Just in general, I'm thankful for just being able to entertain people that I can, and for the audience that we have. So that's about it for tonight. We've kind of gone over everything. And remember, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right here, Dockside at the Bay. Kim and I will be going over The Bay, the beginning, episode 10, that you could find on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. But outside of that, next week, we'll be right back here, 10 p.m. Eastern, talking about the week that is in Port Charles. Make sure to go over to Twix, type in the hashtag SoapSuds March Madness, go vote in round 2, and then be ready for round number 3. All right, folks, we will see you next week for Christy. I'm Vinny. We'll see you guys next week right here on Suds in the Sports Circle, Suds News. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, live stream has ended.